Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPW, share number 108, by Panini, share for women, share number 108. We're in the Sefer Shalva Ba'amin Yisayich, peace in your palace, blueprint for a successful marriage. It talks about that when a man is Mekadosh a woman, he says the words, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, you should be designated for me as a holiness, only me and you. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, like the laws of Moshe and Yisrael. It's mentioned Moshe v'Yisrael. And the Mefarshim say that the reason why it says Moshe and Yisrael is because Moshe and Yisrael, they journeyed together for 40 years in the desert. Throughout the years, as you learn in Chumash and all the Mefarshim and the Midrashim, they encountered all sorts of disagreements and disputes and machlokes, and there was frustration. Moshe Rabbeinu expressed frustration often when they asked for the Basar and Parshas Baal Oischa and what happened by the Eagle and so on and so forth. But after everything is said and done, they stuck it out together through thick and thin. That's the Moshe V'Yisrael concept. Through good times and not so good times, they stuck it through. Again, disclaimer for cases of real abuse and other exceptional situations. That does happen, but this is the general prototype, is that regular people, good people that are flawed, and all of us go through rough times and not so rough times and good times and not so good times, and Moshe v'Yisrael. Ultimately, they stayed together with each other. Ultimately, they were loyal to each other. And, you know, it's the key is the haschalah. You know, they talk about the beginning of marriage, and I'm talking about all through marriage. Just like in the beginning of the marriage, we talk in general that you put your foot first, the right foot, basically. You're choosing the right way. So every long journey starts from a starting point. So you're stepping into a new life in marriage. Every word, every action carries weight. And you have to recognize that. But like, as I'm talking to people that are not necessarily married for a short period of time or before marriage, the truth is in every given moment, every day, not just Yom Kippur, you could do this Rosh Hashanah, every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Rosh Chodesh, always renew yourself. It's never too late. There's always tshuva and there's always a haschalah. So you pick your starting point now. And you say, from this point now, I'm going to choose every word carefully. I'm going to do every action carefully in the right way. And that's a very, very important yesod. And what they talk about here is the adjustments that boys and girls need to make from their single life into married life. And the truth is, this also applies to married life, because we could be married for many years, but we still have that old mindset within us. For example, if a chassan was a yeshiva bacher, and they think livnei bayis be Yisrael, and let's say he's a very idealistic bacher, okay? We're talking about a spiritual-oriented bacher, but he's thinking about it in ruchniistic terms, right? And in that type of way, he doesn't put into his mind that he needs to comment when his wife buys a new tablecloth, that he should compliment how beautiful it is, or a new vase, how beautiful that is. For him, one cake recipe is the same as the other, so to pay attention to it when she bakes a cake and says how good this is. And even if you want to, you know, be constructive in certain ways and say this could use a little this or that, you know, but in a kind way and in a connective way, it doesn't go into his mindset that he needs to even do those things. So there needs to be a shift of focus regarding that, and that you do pay attention to the details of what your wife is doing and the attention you're paying to her. And that has to change, that has to shift. Of course, as wives, you could express that to your husband, that this is very important to you. And in addition, works with him, but on her angle, right? He would rather not be disturbed from his daily shiurim, but she wants to hear a thank you for the meals that are served, no matter how late it may have been served. But on her end, she has to really be careful and work on not comparing him to his older brother-in-law, not to mock him from you know, the house he was raised, even if you feel it was negative. That's a nekuda, by the way, in general. Now, sometimes there's a real negativity of a bad pattern. Okay, you know, you need, even that, you got to handle that with sensitivity. But very often, it's not that it's a negative thing, but it's very different. You come from different cultures. And elu ve'elu devrei Elokim chayim. Everyone that has a different avoida. Every shevet had a different degel, a different flag. Every shevet had a different stone. So very often, what you perceive as negative is just different. Is just different. So just like the husband needs to reorient himself and recognize it's the will of Hashem to leave the Beis HaMedrash and the yeshiva to build a home, and there is this material aspect to it. To comment on your wife's comings and goings and her tastes and the food and all of these things. And a wife also needs to shift her viewpoint. So Noshim Am Bifnei Atzmam, the Gemara Shabbos says that they're a nation unto itself. Very often what wives need to know is that for a husband, an experienced young husband, and then as they get older, if they were never trained, an experienced not so young husband, the female world is a new reality. It doesn't make a difference that he had a mother or female relatives all around him. He could have had 10 sisters. But nevertheless, when you're living with one 24/7, it's a different reality. And very often he does not recognize what a female world is in the sensitivity on one hand, a certain, you know, strongness or obstinacy in the other hand. And it's very, very important to do that. And to recognize that if you married a Ben Taira and a man, very often it doesn't make it right. But when he doesn't show emotion or care, usually it's not because he's a cold person or a callous person or a cruel person. It's just that he was never trained in these things. He'll just notice your moods. Uh-oh, what did I do? You know, if you're on edge, whatever it is, but he won't understand what to do and how to behave. But that is a difficult transformation of change that takes place in marriage that we're not trained for. And that's something that's very, very important. The idea of adopting the customs of your husband could sometimes be difficult. But the bottom line is no matter how unfamiliar or odd or eccentric something may seem, you could do your research. If it's based on something that's not constructive, that's, you know, then you work it through, you ask a shayla, you work on it together. But this is the bottom line. When you enter a new home that's different than your parents' home, it's going to feel strange. And you need to learn how to adapt to it. Then there is a part that talks about the art of giving in. Of giving in, of being mevater. And as a disclaimer, I always say this, we reviewed a book in the main Shalom Bayis Shiurim called You and I Verse Equals We, which in that book, it talks about the unhealthy aspects of always being mevater, the unhealthy aspects of always giving in to the point where you're like a shmata, or that you have no, or you keep the resentments inside and you don't express your needs. So there has to be a balance there. But even in that book, it acknowledges, and we're acknowledging now, and the Shalva Bama Nesayach, again, just to make it clear for people who are listening the last few shiurim and going to listen to the upcoming shiurim, they're talking about ideal viewpoints, what to aspire to. So they're going to aspire to giving in, to understanding the other person's perspective. That is a goal regardless. It's true. But that does not mean that when you have a legitimate need that needs to be expressed, of course you express it. Or there's something that's really niggling and you feel resentful about, you have to learn how to communicate it, but you don't bury it inside. You acknowledge it. But the goal needs to be overall, I'm going to try to give, I'm going to try to be mevater. And Hashem created millions of people, each with different faces, with different personalities, and it's a beautiful world that way. Gemara Yushalmi in Brachos says that Kashem She Ein Partzufeim Shavis Kachei Deyoseim Shavis, just like everyone's features are dissimilar from one another, their mindsets are dissimilar. That's with all human beings. Certainly men and women are unique. They're different. Your spouse has a different disposition than you, a different viewpoint than you, a different taste than you. It makes life more interesting, although it also makes it more challenging. Where do we go to parents, to the Shabbos, your parents and mine? Do we open the gift now or tomorrow? What should we do with this money? Put it in the bank or buy a lamp that we need? all those things. And our reactions now, when we come across these differences, is depending on us. We can choose to be stubborn. We could choose to be self-centered. We could be insistent on our point of view. Or you could hold back that feeling of your self-worth and yield to the other person in the sake of harmony. Now here, I'm going to quote a story that, again, the disclaimer is it's not for everybody to do something like this, but it gives you an idea. There's a big tzaddik, his name was Leib Hilsheimer. He was a Talmud of Reb Pinchas Horowitz. He received a nice dowry. And it was meant to be used for the couple's furniture and to keep them sustained for many years. What happened was, there was a sfarim salesman that visited the young couple on the first day of their Sheva Brachas, offering a set of shas with the Rif and the Rambam and other sfarim, and the chassan's eyes lit up. And he handed the salesman his entire dowry in exchange of these precious sfarim. And when others asked, how could you provide it? How will you provide for myself? Leib says, do we know what tomorrow will bring? These sfarim are important to me today. And Leib's wife, who was a tzaddikas, consented. And they were privileged to raise a son, Rabbi Zviel Hilsheimer, which is the great Rav of Berlin. Now, this story that I just related, you could think different ways about it. It's clearly Mesiras Nefesh, a complete Mesiras Nefesh. Is this expected of everybody? No. Is this even wise to do? If you would ask a Shaila, not necessarily. But the idea being, though, is the Ratzin to want to give, to go beyond yourself, is a very important Ratzin to have. The same idea with small things when we talk about giving in. We're not on the Madrega to give in to major things that bother us. We have our needs and we need to express it in a normal, healthy way. But on the smaller things, we need to learn and practice to give in. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a line, Rav Avigdor Miller used to quote it very, very often, that if you're silent when things are going on and there's contentiousness and you're quiet, when you're quiet, it will remove thousands of evils, will pass by you, and you won't be harmed by it. Basically, the Gemara Sanhedrin is giving advice that very often when you're even in a machlekes or there's a tension between a husband and a wife and you learn to be quiet, 99% of the time your silence will remove a lot of aggravation that would come if you would have opened your mouth. And that's a true statement. But again, you have to take these chazals with a grain of salt and ask a shaila sometimes, because something's eating at you, or you know it's something that has to be addressed. It's not going to go away on its own. Then you need to be open and you need to speak. And how you speak and how you do it is very, very important. So that's just when you learn these svarim, and especially this one, about giving in and about being mevater and about being silent, these are all good midas to aspire to. But you have to remember and recognize that there are exceptions to the rule. And sometimes it is important to speak up and you just need to learn how to go about it. He brings different stories over here about a wife knowing that the husband does not come from a frum background. And the wife reassures him that she values him the way he is. It makes no difference. And she basically told him, it's interesting, that after all, it says a man should marry a bas talmid chacham. It doesn't say the other way around. And don't worry about anything. And she didn't dwell on that past. And that created a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov that the husband had to his wife. There are times where sometimes a wife makes a mistake and said something, whatever, that she shouldn't have said, and she apologized. Sorry, I spoke out of line. And if the husband's smart, and if he says, you know, you really shouldn't have said that, but yesterday I didn't speak with you for proper respect either, so we're even, you know, like in a jokey way. And that, you know, that's like a chesed you do for one another when you even slip into certain things. You work it through with each other. So that's the idea. And not to despair is the key. To really, really build yourself up, to build yourself with simcha, and you work with each other when you come across these differences. And that leads to having a beautiful marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.